holding five lines from the bottom of Jim Lomond Bays. We were talking yesterday then about the various aspects of weather, the different cases where things that come after wind, after the rain are good or just indifferent, whatever. Oh, hello? Now we're holding on Jim Lomond Bays, five lines from the bottom. So more on that topic, I'm a rubber. Hello? Male Tauk Laturi, snow is as good for the mountains to Hamsha Mitri La'ara, like five rainfalls for the ground. So Rashi says two possibilities what that means. One is why dafka the mountain. Rashi says, first of all, of course it means all the snow is good everywhere, is better than rain. But in the mountains it's more of a chiddush, and in the mountains don't get very much rain, because any rain that falls on the mountain is just, you know, goes down below to the valley, where the snow stays there. So therefore, the snow is an advantage for the mountains. It's an advantage for the lowlands also, but it's more of an advantage for the mountains in the sense that that's the main kind of precipitation, the main kind of moisture they get. And Rashi's second explanation is that it's the main kind of precipitation they get too. The mountains don't get rain so much; they get snow. In the valleys, because it's low lying, because it's hotter, you tend not to get snow as much. You tend to get rain. Why do we know five? Shenema, because the pasuk says, the pasuk in Iyov, Kila Sheleg Yomer Heve Eretz, to the snow, Hashem says, be on the ground. The Geshem Mater, and the rain of the rain of the showers. The Geshem Mitzrayz Uzay, and the rain of the showers of its strength. So if we look at the number of words or parts of words that are talking about rain in this pasuk, Geshem is one, Mater is two, then the second Geshem is three, Mitzrayz is plural, four and five. Mutter in the plural is mitzvahs. So you end up with that snow is five times as good as rain. In one of I think of Victor Miller's books, he pointed out the practical reason for that. I mean, besides there are deeper reasons for it also for sure. But at least on a basic level, the reason is because the rain just, you know, it rains and that sinks into the ground or whatever, or it runs off. Snow stays for a while, it gradually diffuses into the ground, so it keeps it moist for a longer time, and the snow insulates the plants. The reason why the roots of the plants don't freeze during the winter is because they're insulated by the snow. So in that sense, the snow does a lot more for them than the rain does. Amar Rava, and Rava says, so this is something to remember, I guess. Well, kids, when snow falls, are happy. It's a day off school, it's time to build snowmen, and so things like that. Us adults tend to be less happy about it, but here's something to remember, that after all, it is as good as rain is, snow is better.
You guys get paid for your job, you don't.
Also true.
That's why you guys can't, we don't.
Fair enough. Yeah. Also, we're usually the ones who have to shovel it. Ve'alma Rava, and also Rava says another thing. Tauga Laturi, snow, like we just said, is good for the mountains. Mitra Razia, strong rain, is good la'ilami, is good for the trees. Mitra Nicha, gentle rain, is good la'peri, is good for the fruit. And Urfila, a drizzle, afila la'parsida, the tuse kala, even for a seed that's under a clod of dirt, mahanya is beneficial. Clod meaning like a piece of dirt, like a big hard piece of dirt, and you have a seed under it. A drizzle helps even that. My urfila, why do we call it drizzle urfila? Because it stands for uru pili, which means, Rashi says two explanations what it means. One is that uru means close up, meloshen ma'ura, like you find in some places in Shasta, something is ma'ura and something else is attached to it. So uru pili, it closes up. Pili means the cracks. It closes up the cracks in the ground when there's a drizzle, to promote the growth of the seeds that are in those cracks. Second explanation is uru is meloshen uru yushenim, wake up, that it wakes up the seeds that are in the cracks in the ground and gets them going. Besides, for the simple meaning of all these different what each of these different kinds of rain or snow is good for, Ben Yehoyada has an interesting explanation, a deeper explanation. He says that snow represents learning chumash. Because learning chumash is you learn by tinokas shabbos rabban, who are pure, like snow is pure white, and therefore and they have a connection with the avos, who are compared to mountains. The strong rain is like pilpul, and when older people get together and learn with a pilpul, going back and forth and all, and that's good for the trees, the strong from a chachamim. the gentle rain is good for peiros, that you actually come out with practical halacha, with practical peiros from what you're learning. And upila, the drizzle there, he says, refers to learning sodas atorah. They're like a drizzle because there's much less of it than there is of nigla, but it has real effect even on the deepest thing.
Who says that?
Ben Yoyada. V'alma Rava, and Rava says, since we talked about parsida de tusei kolos, since we talked about a seed that's underground, so here's another thing. Hai tsurva merabonon, domi the parsida de tusei kolos. A tsurva merabonon, which means, Rashi says, a young Talmud Chacham, tsurva literally means singe. Like when you get too close to a fire a little bit, and you get burnt a little bit. Now, the word for that in Aramaic is tsriva. Tzurva Merabbanan is like not a full-fledged Talmud Chacham, but like he spent time, like I said in last week's Pirkei Avos, he spent time near the fire, near the warming fire of the Talmud Chachamim, and he's already gotten affected by it. That's a Tzurva Merabbanan. There's other explanations also, but anyway. A Tzurva Merabbanan domer leparzida de tosi kala. It's like a seed under a clod of dirt, under some hard dirt. Tosi means under. The word is really tosi, like tachas, but then in Babli Aramaic, a lot of times the ches drops out. Kiven the novat novat. Once it starts growing, it grows. You know, it keeps on growing. And once a seed gets underway growing, it keeps on growing bigger and bigger. The same thing. A Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham, at first nobody knows of him. He's like a seed under the dirt. Nobody knows that he's there. But then he starts growing and growing, and pretty soon everybody has heard about him. There's a few other interesting. That's what Rashi says. There's a few other interesting explanations that Mefarshim give, that Achronim give on what this means. One of them is, what happens to a seed in the ground before it starts growing and before it starts developing into a nice, beautiful plant? It has to rot. Representing the idea, you have to a young Talmud Chacham has to remember he's going to have to go through a lot of hardships before he becomes well known and before he becomes a full-fledged Talmud Chacham. There's also I saw an interesting idea. A seed originally lives off of a seed is basically just, you know, it has all the instructions for producing another plant of its kind. At first, all it can live off of is its own resources and whatever it gets from the dirt. Eventually, it's going to start growing, and then it's going to start giving back to the world. It's going to start photosynthesizing. It starts producing oxygen and so forth for the world. The same thing. It's a young Talmud Chacham starts out. He has to learn from other people. But eventually, the idea is he should grow and actually start producing and then giving something back to the world. I don't remember the source of it. Another thing about a tzurva merabbanan, speaking of, hai tzurva merabbanan, a young Talmud Chacham, the rota, who gets angry. You should know, a raisa who to come a ratchale, it's the Torah that's making him angry. Dichtiv, shenema, because it says in the pasuk, haloi koi dvarai ka'esh ne'um Hashem, aren't my words like fire, says Hashem. So he has the fire of the Torah is burning inside him. What does that mean, Rashi says? Because he has roichav lev, he has a broader heart, because he knows so much more from having learned Torah, therefore he takes things more to heart than other people. So there are things that might not upset another person, but which upset him. So the point is, as the Gemara is going to say soon, a person does have to train themselves to not get angry. But if you see a Talmud Chacham, you see a young Talmud Chacham getting angry, be danim l'kach chos. Know that it's the Torah that's within him that's burning, that makes him react like that. The Amar Ravashi, and Ravashi also said in this connection, Kol Talmud Chacham, Eina Kasha Kabarzel, any Talmud Chacham who's not as hard as iron, Eina Talmud Chacham, it's not a real Talmud Chacham. Again, what does it mean like iron? So again, Rashi says, Kapdonim Bakashim Kabarzel, it means when they see something that isn't the way it should be, they're as strong and as hard as iron to do something about it. They don't just, it's okay, let it slide. If somebody does let it slide, then he's not what a Talmud Chacham should be. Shenema, as the pasuk says, as the continuation of the same pasuk, ukapatish yufotet tzela, like a hammer that breaks apart, that explodes a rock. So the Talmud Chacham has to be like a hammer. He sees a rock in the path, he's going to go and then start hammering on it and then break it up. Amalei Rav Abba Lo Ravashi, Rav Abba, who was from Eretz Yisrael, said to Rav Ashi, who was from Babel, Asun Mehosa Mas Nisula. You learn it from that pasuk, Ukpatish Kreitzitzela. You should know, Anan, we in Eretz Yisrael, Mehosa Mas Nisula. We had a different pasuk where we learned the same concept. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, in praise of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Avoneha Barzil. It's a land that the stones of it are iron. I'll take you, Avoneha Ela Boineha. Not Avoneha, the stones of it, but Boineha, the ones who build it up. Who are the ones who build up the world? It's Merchachamim. So the Talmud Chachamim, right? It's all the pasuk is saying, are like iron. They're tough like that. If they see something the way it shouldn't be, that they get offended and they do something about it. Yeah.
You think the Talmud Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael is stronger here? Than the character?
No, in fact, on the contrary. I mean, we find in some places the Gemara mentions that the Talmud Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were more easygoing to each other in matters of halacha. It's why the Yerushalmi has a lot less give and take than the Bavli does. In the Bavli, somebody will say something and everybody jumps on him with questions and stiras and everything. The Gemara in Sanhedrin calls it makol chovlim, like sticks that try to beat each other up, as opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, they're more makol noyam, like sticks that are pleasant to each other. They get along. But still, I mean, there's in matters of halacha, there's, you know, in matters of discussing Torah, there can be, you know, that you have respect for the other guy's opinion, like Rabbi Akiva's students were supposed to have. But then you have also, on the other hand, when you see something that isn't the way it should be, then you have to correct it. Yeah, you have to be like Barzil and you have to be like iron. Amar Ravina, but Ravina says, Afilo Hasi, even with all of that, mi boilele inish lemelech nafshe b'nichusa, a person still has to train himself to be gentle. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'hasa kaf milvecha v'gemer." Take away anger from within your heart. Which Mefarshim say. I mean, Ravina is not really arguing with the previous thing. He's saying, "L'chatchila, you should train yourself to be more easygoing, because we learn in Pirkei Avos that when you have somebody who gets easily angry and then it takes them a while to calm down, it's not such a good thing necessarily, because then he stays angry for a long time." If you're in a situation where you have to get angry, like we find Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at the people sometimes, then you have to be kosher kabarzel. But he's saying, l'chatchila, train yourself that you don't have to reach that point in the first place, that you can accomplish the same thing b'nei chutzah.
Of course, it's not only addressing
self-discipline, but anyway. Right, yes. But he's saying, because of course, a regular person has no business with caste. We're saying even a Talmud Chacham, that he has a turd of burning within him, still has to, yeah. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'hasa kaf milibecha v'gemer." Take away anger from within your heart. Now the Gemara is going to bring something which, Now the Gemara is going to bring something which ends up connecting with what we were talking about rain and about dew. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, Shlosha Shalu Shaloi Kehagin. There were three people that are mentioned in Tanakh that asked the Eibishter for something improperly. Two of them were answered properly. One was not answered properly. He got the wrong thing happened, basically. What are the stories? Eliezer Eved Avraham, the pasuk says, he's going to find a wife for Yitzchak. He says, I'm standing here watching, waiting for the girl to come out, drawing water. V'hoya hanara, it'll be that the girl, that I say to her, hati nokadech v'gomer, bend down your tip over your jug that I can take a drink. That'll be the one that the Eivishter has determined is going to be Yitzchak's wife. The problem is, yachal afil chigeres afil estuma, what's going to happen? She might be lame, she might be blind. Which Tosfos points out, I mean, you know, lame or blind, wouldn't he be able to see? But not necessarily. What if, for example, she has a wooden leg? What if she has very nice-looking eyes, but she can't see? But that's the thing. It was an improper thing to do, in a way, that he should... It is the Eibishter's will, but he shouldn't have just said a blanket statement like that. He should have made it clear... Eliezer should have made it clear in his tefillah, when he's diving into the Eibishter, whichever girl said, you know, whichever girl I ask, and she says, you know, I'll drink and I'll give you camels to drink, will be the one, he should have said in his tefillah, whichever girl is from Avraham's family and appropriate, etc. He didn't. Nevertheless, Hashimah Kahagan, the Eibishter answered him properly, but his name, Rivka, and Rivka showed up, who was perfect, Begashmias and Beruchmias. Shaul ben Kish, what was the story with him? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, when Goliath is standing over there making fun of the Jewish people and of the Eibishter and then taunting them and challenging them, you guys can't find anybody to come fight against me. David comes to deliver food for his brothers. He hears what's going on. He starts asking around. They tell him that the king has announced V'haya ha'ish asher yakenu, whichever man is going to kill him, Yashrenu ha'melech o'sha gadol, the king will make this man very rich, V'asbito yitin lo, and he'll give his daughter to him as a wife.
Which king?
This is Shaul that's talking.
Shaul.
King Shaul is offering whoever will go and beat Goliath, the king will give him a lot of money and marry him off his daughter. Which, in the end, when David killed Goliath, we actually later on. What? So actually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole discussion of what exactly happened. First, First, David was supposed to marry Merab, Shaul's older daughter. What happened was, though, there was a question whether the Kiddushin are valid. To make a long story short, the Kiddushin, if we're saying that Shaul is supposed to be giving him a lot of money, you could argue that if David is foregoing that, that's the Kiddushin. But it can't. The rule is, Mekadesh b'milva and Mekadeshes. If you do Kiddushin using money that's on loan, then there's no Kiddushin, because she's not actually gaining, you're not actually giving her something. So therefore, the Kiddushin never took effect. And in the end, Merab ended up marrying somebody else.
So wait a minute, he renounced the money that Shaul offered?
That's not renounced, but the point is, we're assuming that the Gemara seems to be assuming that he was ready to take that money that Shaul offered him and use that as the money for Kiddushin. Technically only in a Prutta, but you know, you're not going to be Mekadosh the king's daughter with a Prutta. So yeah.
So what was being wrong with that?
That's the problem. If Shaul had actually given him the money and he turned around and gave it back to Shaul for his daughter's hand, okay, that's Kiddushin. But he didn't. There was no actual exchange of money taking place.
So actually, he did not fulfill his promise, Shaul.
Wait. The point is, in the end, so Merab ended up marrying somebody else. Then there was Michal, Shaul's second daughter. On that, the Gemara mentioned, as we talked about it a couple of months ago, that there ended up being a whole machloikas and halacha between Shaul and David over the question, Hamakadosh b'milva v'pruta. Because there, Shaul offered David that you can marry Merab, you can marry Michal, I mean, if you go and kill 200 plishtim and bring back their arlos. The question is the, you know, are the Orlus, you know, is that considered a Pruta? You know, do we look at the Milva? Do we look at the Pruta? The whole story over there in the second parak of Sanhedrin. In the end, David did end up marrying Michal. Shaul himself held his opinion in Halacha that the Kiddushin were never valid in the first place. So when Shaul was forced to escape from Shaul, then Shaul took Michal and married her off to somebody else, Palti ben Laish. And the Gemara tells over there how Palti knew the halacha is not like Shaul. He knew the halacha is like David. She's an Ashes ish. And throughout all the years that they were officially married, he never touched her.
He was still living with her?
And they were living in the same house, because what could he do? But, the Gemara mentions that he went through a bigger Nisayan during all those years than Yosef did. Yosef, you know, he knew his wife. He knew that Potiphar's wife was off limits. Here, you know, he could have used himself a heter. He could have said the halacha like Shaul, but he didn't. Yeah.
What
anyway, Palti ben Laish. Later on, the pasuk calls him Palti El, that he gained. The Avishai's name was added to his as a credit for what he accomplished over there. That he lived through this Nisayon. Anyway. So again, you have the same problem. Yachal afil eved afilu mamzer. What are Shaul's just saying? That whichever guy kills Goliath, what if it turns out to be an eved? What if it turns out to be a mamzer? You can't marry off a Jewish woman to an eved or a mamzer. He should have specified. Nevertheless, Hashiva Kahagan, the Avish answered him properly, v'nizhamin lo David, and David showed up. What's the third case? Yiftach ha-giladi, yichtiv, the pasuk says, most of the story is in Aftarah of Parshas Chukas. Yiftach is fighting against Bnei Amon. The Bnei Amon have been harassing and oppressing the Jewish people for 18 years. Yiftach has been appointed the chief to go negotiate with and fight against them. He sends a whole diplomatic exchange with the king of Amon. What's going on? What do you have against us? The king of Amon says, "You guys are squatting on my land. We need land for peace. You give me back the land, I'll give you peace. Nothing much has changed in 3,000 years." Yeah. Yiftach sends him back a whole long thing, which is why it's the Haftarah of Parshas Chukas, because it recapitulates events from that parsha, that we never took any of your land, we conquered the lands of Sichon and Og, they conquered it from you, tough luck on you. We conquered it from Sichon and Og, we didn't conquer it from you. We're entitled to it, they should put it in our hands. The king of Ammon doesn't accept that, and they go to war, and Yiftach ends up beating him. Before they go to war,
and of course they can war.
And of course the Jewish people kept the land, right? Before they went to war, Yiftach made a neder. He says, "Whatever comes out of my house first, v'hoya v'Hashem, it'll be for Hashem, v'hali siu oila, and I'll bring it as an oila." Now that's the problem. He says, "Whatever comes out first from the doors of my house will be Hashem, and I'll bring it as an oila." Again, you have the problem. Yachal afilu davar tamei. What if a davar tamei? What if a horse comes out or something? Hashiva shaleika. The neighbor answered improperly. Nizam le bita, and his daughter showed up. And what happened? The pasuk says he was devastated. You know, well. So the Mefarshim actually discussed. The Mefarshim actually discussed. There's different Mefarshim that discussed. Did he actually bring her as a korban, or did he, which he wasn't allowed to do, obviously, or, as we're going to talk about now, or is it that he put her in isolation, like she had to live in isolation in the mountains or whatever on her own, because she's like dedicated to Hashem, she can't marry her.
That would have been all right?
Well, no, it wouldn't have been all right either. Yeah. The Hainu de Ka'amalu who Navi Li Yisrael, much later the Navi says to the Jewish people, Hatsori Ein Begilad, isn't there any balsam, which is they used to use it for medicine in those days in Gilad, which Gilad is where Yiftach lived, he's Yiftach HaGiladi. Im Roifa Ein Sham, isn't there a doctor over there? Meaning the Navi is saying, the Navi is saying, like when you're sick, you get medicines, you go to a doctor. In this case, there was a sickness. Yiftach made this promise. He has this problem now. He has a daughter that he's supposed to bring her as a korban. He should have gone to be Matir Neder. He should have gone to find a doctor, meaning a Talmid Chacham, who give him medicine, meaning be Matir Neder him. But he didn't. Rashi quotes from a Medrash that actually Pinchas was around at that time still. This is the middle of the time of the Shoftim. Pinchas was still around. Yiftach should have gone to Pinchas, and if he didn't, Pinchas should have picked himself up and gone to Yiftach.
He had known.
No, Pinchas did know. What Rashi quotes, and also Tosfos, that actually what happened was, neither Yiftach nor Pinchas wanted to set aside their cover. Yiftach figured, you know what, I'm the leader of the Jewish people. If Pinchas decides that what I said was wrong, let him come to me and then be Matir Neder. Pinchas figured, look, I'm the Kohen Gadol, I'm the spiritual leader of the Jewish people. If Yiftach needs me, let him come to me. Between the two of them, yeah. Between the two of them, she...
If Pinchas meet her with doctors, and go ahead and do things like Zimri.
Right, but I guess in this case not. Tosfos says actually both of them ended up getting punished. Yiftach, the Pasuk says, when Yiftach died a few years later, he was shrouded for 6 years, the Pasuk says on him, Vayikovir ba'orei Gilad. He was buried in the cities of Gilad. Now the person buried in multiple cities, because towards the end of his life, his body started falling apart. He had some kind of disease that made him waste away, and different parts of him were falling off in different places. So like, well, an arm was buried here, a leg was buried there, etc. That was his punishment. Pinchas, there's a pasuk of Divrei Hayamim that says on Pinchas, Lefonim Hashem Imoi, which means formerly Hashem was with him, meaning he lost his Ruach HaKodesh.
When was that?
Sometime during the time of the Shoftim. And actually, there are some Mepharshim who would say that it's because of that also, for a while we know that we hear in Shmuel's times that the Kohen Gadol was Eli, a Kohen. Eli was a descendant of Isamar. Pinchas is a son of Elazar. The Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be hereditary. How did it transfer from Pinchas' family to the descendants of Isamar? That's why, because of this story. Because of this story, Pinchas lost. For, eventually, because Eli's family also didn't act like they also messed up Hophni and Pinchas, the whole thing that we talked about a while back. Then it wound up going back to Bnei Tzadok, who are descended from Pinchas. Yeah. Anyway, so we see from that, because the Navi talks about it in such scathing terms, we see that Eibishter didn't approve of it, of what Yiftach did. Uchtiv, and then there's another pasuk that shows that Eibishter didn't approve of it. The pasuk says, this is a nevuah in Yirmiyah, in Sefer Yirmiyah. In Yirmiyahu's time, in the Navi Yirmiyah's time, there were Jews who were bringing their children as korbanos to various idols and claiming that this is the right thing to do. The Eibishter tells the Navi to tell them, no, Asher lo tzivisi, I never commanded this, v'lo dibarti, and I never spoke it, v'lo olsal libi, and it never came up in my heart. Now, what does this mean? What's the triple expression? Asher lo tzivisi, zebnei shal Mesha melech Moav. When it says that, I never commanded it, this is a story with the son of Mesha, the king of Moav. Shenema, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk is describing over there in Malachim Bey how the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael and the king of Edom were all fighting against Moav. Moav is in a desperate situation. They're getting beaten. Shaloi kader chateva. So the king, the Mesha over there, decides on a drastic step. He takes his son Shenema. The pasuk says, "Vayikach as bnei avachor ashiyim lechtaftav." He took his firstborn son, who was going to rule instead of him, vayaleu ola, and he brought him as an ola. Now the Gemara actually, because he was desperate. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses that actually it's a machlokas amiroyim over there whether he was doing it for his avodah zarah or whether he was doing it l'shem shemayim. Rashi on the pasuk there brings a very interesting thing that Mesha had with his servants, with his advisors. He asks them, I mean, these people, the Jewish people, are winning, shaloi keder chateva. What's going on over here? They tell him they have a great schus. Their ancestor was going to sacrifice his son, Avram, was going to sacrifice his son to Hashem. So Mesha says, okay, well, then I'll go one better. I'll actually sacrifice my son to Hashem. And he did. And the pasuk continues, in a way it did. Mesha. Meshach, his name was the king of Moab. And in a way, it helped, actually, because the pasuk continues, and he kept it Gadol Yisrael. There was a tremendous anger from Hashem against the Jewish people. Kavyachol and Shemayim, the Malachim are accusing, you know, look, Meshach doesn't know any better. He's a goy, vasveis there, and he's going, you know, he's doing something like that. The Jewish people are also doing things like that. They're also sacrificing their children to Geshkid, and they should know better. So sure enough, they ended up losing the war. They had won the battles all that time, but they ended up losing the war. Anyway. So when it says, Asher Litziviti, refers to the son of Meshach Melech Moav. David should never commanded him to sacrifice his son. He came up with that on his own. The Lodi Bauti is a Yiftach. When David says, I never spoke, means the Yiftach. I never told him to bring his daughter as a korban. And the also Alibi, when it says it never came up in my heart, the Yitzchok ben Avram. This is with the Akedah Yitzchok. The Ebeshah tells Avram how loyal the Oros. But as the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, afterwards when Avram asks Hashem, so what's going on over here? First you told me to bring him as an Ola, now you're telling me to take him down. What's going on? Hashem tells him, I never told you to actually sacrifice him. I told him how loyal Ola, bring him up as an Ola. I never had in mind in the first place that you're actually going to be offering him as an Ola. That you should bring him up, that he should gain the kedusha of an Ola. You brought him up, now you can bring him down. So the old South Libya, it never came into the Abishah's mind the idea that Yitzchak would actually be sacrificed.
How do we know that Avram?
The Gemara mentioned this, because the pasuk says over there, by Yachre Advarim Ela, that those words. That, yeah. Rashi brings a different girsa from Tanchuma, that the other way around. Asher Litziviti is referring to Yiftach. He has many mitzvahs. He has 613 mitzvahs. This isn't one of them. Lodi Bauti is referring to Mesha. He's a guy. The Ebershah never spoke to him in Korea. The Ebershah certainly never spoke to him and told him to sacrifice his son. And Loyal South Libya is referring to that Kedah Sifra. Anyway, so we see from all of that Yiftach did something improper. That he asked improperly and the Ebershah answered him improperly. Why Taka did the Ebershah discriminate against him as opposed to the other ones? Different Mepharshim give different explanations. One of them, meaning when with Shaul and with Eliezer, even though they didn't specify what they needed, the Ebershah still answered them properly. Why not with Yiftach? One answer is because Yiftach's thing is there's no covenant for the Ebershah involved. You want to bring a korban, by all means, bring the best thing that you have as a korban, not whatever walks out of the door first. That's a careless way to make a nether. Now, here's the connection to our Gemara. Amar Abrechia, Ak Knesset Yisrael Shal Shalai Kohagin. There's another case. The Jewish people asked something from the Ebishtah improperly. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Hashiva Kohagin, but Hashem answered us properly. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Neda Nirdufa Ladas Hashem, let's run to know Hashem. Kashacha Nachain Meitzai, the coming out of it is as clear and as obvious as the dawn breaking. The Yavik Geshem Lanu, and it should come, the closeness with the Ebishtah should come to us like rain. Says, my daughter, you're asking that I should be like rain to you. Rain sometimes is wanted, sometimes it's not. Like we just said in the previous story, rain is not a good thing during the summer. But I will be for you something that's always wanted. Shenema, the pasuk says, I will be to the Jewish people like dew. Tal is always there and it's always wanted. Even we said there might not be tal shel bracha, but at least tal is always some kind. Is always a good thing. Meaning it doesn't help the plants grow, but at least
right.
You know it's still a wanted thing. It's still something that's wanted. But oid shalos shloike hagen, and then the Jewish people asked another thing improperly. Amal lefana rabbanu shalom simeni kachosim alid. So the pasuk says in Shirim, place me like a seal on your heart, kachosim alzerecha, like a seal on your arm. Amal akadosh baruch hu biti atshelos davar shapamim nido pamameni nido. So you're asking for something that sometimes is visible and sometimes not. When do you see a person's arm or a person's heart? Only when they don't have a shirt on. But I will show you that I'm close with you in a way that's always seen. Shenema, the apostle says, behold, I've engraved you on my hands. And Rashi has the second explanation, is that kapayim means on the sky. That there's the figure of Yaakov Avinu on the Ebershah's Kisei HaKavod. Al kapayim, on the heavens, chaklisich, I've engraved you, which is something that's always visible. One thing it explains in a few places in Chassidus about this thing of Geshem versus Tal, Geshem is something that you need a Sirusa de Lasata, and then you have a Sirusa de Laila. You have vapor coming up from the ground, as we'll have next week, or at the end of this week, and then rain comes down. Tal is strictly Milamila. It condenses out of the air. So the Jewish people are asking, we want a connection with the Ebishtah based on a Sirusa de Lasata. The Abish answers, I'm gonna go you one better. I'm gonna make it that you'll have even when there's no Isurusa Dabasata, there'll always be an Isurusa Dalaila. There'll always be I'll always initiate the connection. Which is Tau.
Tau
is the Siddur Siddur Dela'ela. This is why also we daven for Tau during Nisan, which is the time of the Siddur Siddur Dela'ela, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we daven for Geshem during Tishrei, which is the time of the Siddur Siddur Mufasa, when we initiate the connection, where we crown the Eivishter as king, and then he reciprocates.
And why did he Siddur Dela'ela Tau?
Because it condenses out of the air. It's considered like it comes down. The Mishnah said, "Ein shaylas hagshamim cholo." The Mishnah said, "You only ask for rain close to the time of rain." So, svarua, the Gemara starts by assuming she'ela v'haskara chada milti. That when the Mishnah here says she'ela means the same thing as haskara that was mentioned previously. Again, we need to clarify. Usually, haskara means same mashav erach merda geshem. She'ela means same the same talamotter. The Gemara is assuming over here though that in our Mishnah, she'elin means also mashav erach merda geshem. So then, mantana. So who would be the tana that says that? That you only start some of Shamim, but not before that. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua, that would be according to Rabbi Yeshua. Dama Meshasana Chaseh, we said the other day that Rabbi Yeshua says that you start saying Mashav Roch Merah Geshem once you put down the lulav, which means one meaning of that is from Shmini Atzeres, the day after you put down the lulav, or the night already of Shmini Atzeres, whatever. So in other words, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you start already from the beginning of Sukkot, but the beginning of the rainy season isn't until the end of Sukkot. Abayas is not necessarily. I feel the same with Rabbi Eliezer. You could even say it's a point of Rabbi Eliezer because she'ela l'chud ba'askara l'chud. There's a difference between she'ela, the same talamater, and askara mashav erach merda geshem. Even Rabbi Eliezer might agree that you only start saying the same talamater later on. When we start saying it, we'll talk in a couple of days. The Ikadamri, others say that the discussion went like this: Lema Rabbi Yeshua, without even the Svarua, should we say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yeshua, Dama Mishasana Chasei, who says that you only start mentioning rain and davening from the time when you put down the lulav? Amar Rava, no. So again, Rava says after the time of Rabbi Yehuda, because She'ela l'chod ba'azkara l'chod, because there's a difference between She'ela, which is the same talamater, and Azkara, which is Mashav Erach Merda Geshem.
She'ela means bring now.
No, She'ela means we're asking for it. The same talamater, bring dew and rain.
Right.
As opposed to Askara, we're mentioning the Eibishter is the one who mashiv erach merda geshem. Mishnah said Rabbi Hoda Omer Ha'ayv looking at Teva v'chol other the second chazan on Shmini Atzeres is the one who starts saying geshem. We're a minu. We have a contradiction. We learned in a Braisa. Ad masa shaylin asak shomim. Until when do we ask for rain? Rabbi Hoda Omer Ha'ayv Yavra Pesach. Rabbi Hoda says until Pesach is over. At the end of Pesach, Rav Meir Amar Shiyavin Nissen. Rav Meir says even later, until Nissen is over. It's the next Mishnah. So Rav Yehuda is saying you say Mashav Erach Merda Geshem until the end of Pesach. Why in our Mishnah is he saying that Chazan on the first day of Pesach already stops saying Mashav Erach Merda Geshem and starts saying Merda Tol in Musa? The pastor says it. Amar Rav Chista like Kasha Kam Lishol Kam Lahazir. There's a difference between asking and mentioning it. Mishal shol v'haz v'ozel. When it comes to asking, you continue asking for rain, you continue saying the same talamater past the first day of Pesach. V'hazke, when it comes to mentioning it, mashav erach merda geshem, v'yom tov edition pasuk, you stop on the first day of Yom Tov. However, that's not what we do. And Omer Ola says, Hodr of Chista, this that of Chista is saying, Kasha, is a real Kasha. And it's more than just a Kasha. It's like, it's not Kasha in the sense of a question, but Kasha is like a harsh thing. Like a pasuk says, Kachoymet l'shinayim v'ka'ashen l'aynayim. It's like vinegar for the teeth, and like vinegar to the teeth, and like smoke to the eyes. It really irritates. How could it be? Shouldn't we make a kavachomer? Uma b'makom she'ena shoyel mazkir. Madach that in the time when you don't ask for rain, you're already mentioning it, because as the next missionary is going to say, you don't start asking for. Here actually in this and the next dozen or so lines of the Gemara, there's a different explanation between Rashi and a bunch of the other Rishonim. Rashi says what we mean is like, so let's start with Rashi. Rashi says like this. When you're not shoyel, you're still mazkir, means on the last, on Shmini Atzeres. You're not shoyel, you don't yet say the same talamata, because Yom Tov. And you don't say the same talamata on Yom Tov. But nevertheless, you're mazkir. You're still saying mashav erach merda geshem. So in that case, b'makom sheshoyel, so then when you're actually saying the same talamata, ain't a din she, hey mazkir. How much more so that you should still be saying mashav erach merda geshem? How can you be telling me you stop saying mashav erach merda geshem the first day of Pesach, and you're still continuing through Chol HaMoed Pesach to say the same talamata? other Mepharshim say the question isn't so much from that.
You ready to write down the Dal Dam Zvi?
Yes. On Shmini Atzeres, we start saying the same time. We start saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem. We don't yet start saying the same Talamata because Yom Tov. You don't have that bracha in Shmini Atzeres. So we're saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem. We have not yet started saying the same Talamata. So how much more so than the other way around? There shouldn't be a time when we stop saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem, when we're saying Moed Atol, but we're still saying the same Talamata. Other Mepharshim say the question is not so much from Shmini Atzeres. It's fine. Of course, you're not saying it's Shmini Atzeres. There's no weekday davening then. The question is rather as a couple of Mishnayos are going to say a couple of Mishnayos from now that when do you start saying the same Talmud? We're going to talk about it a little bit in our Gemara as well. You start on the third of Cheshvan or on the seventh or in Chutz La'aretz even later. So there's a time after Shmini Atzeres when you're saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem, but you're still not saying the same Talmud yet. So what's the logic that during Pesach you should be doing the other way around, that you should be saying Moed Atol, but still be saying the same Talmud?
Didn't we say that it's, in any case, it's always automatic? It's
Tal, yes, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Mutter. We're talking about the asking, we're talking about asking for rain, yeah. Ela Oma Ula, so no, rather says, Ula yet says, you have to say, Tre Tanoya, Libid Rabbi Yehuda. You have to necessarily say that there must be two Tanoyim who are disagreeing in what Rabbi Yehuda says. One of them holds that you keep on saying the same Talamotar, Shoyalin, throughout all of Pesach, and then for sure also you continue saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem. That would be the Tana of this Braisa, or the next Mishnah rather, Adji Yavar Pesach. The other one from our Mishnah would be the one that says that you start saying Moed Atol on the first day of Pesach. And then at that point also you stop saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem. I mean, at that point you stop saying the same Talamotar. Rabbi Yosef has a different answer. My Achi Yavra Pesach, what does it mean when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, until Pesach ends, he doesn't mean until Pesach ends, until you put away the Chometz, etc. He means Achi Yavra Shliach Tzibur Rishon Ayur B'Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. He means until the first, Yavra means goes away, until the first Chazan, the first Shliach Tzibur, Hayored, who goes down to Davin by the Amud, B'Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, until he leaves the Amud, you're still saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem. You start from Musaf, which would be exactly what I'm saying. However, still though, the Mishnah there, the next Mishnah is mentioning Ad Masa Shoyal in effect. How long do we ask for rain, which is the same Talamata, which brings up the question, Amalei Abaya, Sheil v'Yom Tov Mi'ika. How do you have Sheil? How do you have the same Talamata on Yom Tov? You don't have a weekday davening. Amalei. So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef says to him, Ain, yes indeed. It's true the Chazan doesn't, but Shoyal Meturgamon. The Meturgamon can be asking for it. Namely, they used to have in those days, usually a Meturgamon's job was when the Rosh Hashiva is giving a drasha, then the Meturgamon would have the job of saying it over loudly and explaining it for the people. There would also be a Meturgamon for Kriyat HaTorah. Here you have, there's a Meturgamon who, when the drasha is being given, sometime during davening, or maybe between Shacharis and Musaf, like we do nowadays, whatever it is, when the drasha is being given, at some point, the Meturgamon should be putting in the bracha of Sheila. He should be putting in the phrase, the same Talamot of the bracha. Question is, what do you mean? Meturgamon, Sheila, Dov, Shein, Tzarech, Tzibur? Does the Meturgamon ask something that the rest of the Tzibur doesn't need? If the rest of the tzibur is not saying the same talamater, because it's already the time of it is over, you're already saying Moed Atol, because you already started, the chazan from Musaf already started saying Moed Atol, what's the logic that the Meturgamon is going to go back and then continue saying Mashav Rosh Moed Geshem, is going to continue saying the same talamater? Elo machvarta kedu ula. So no, it's clear that we have to answer like Ula said, that evidently there are two different opinions in what Rabbi Yehuda held. Rabba gives a different answer. My Adchi Yavra Pesach, what does it mean in the next Mishnah when Rabbi Yehuda says that you say the same Talamata, that you do Sheila Adchi Yavra Pesach until Pesach is over? He means Adchi Yavra Zman Shchitas Pesach. He means until the time of Shechting, the Korban Pesach, is over. Which, Rashi says that means when, it means not actually when it's over. According to Rashi, what it means is rather when the beginning of that time is over. Meaning, the Korban Pesach, so theoretically you can start shechting the Korban Pesach from 6 hours in the day. In practice, they would usually do it later. We learned in Pesachim, usually they do it 8.5 hours in the day, and the earliest they ever did it was 6.5, because the walls weren't perfectly vertical, so they had to wait until they could see a shadow. But theoretically, you could start shechting the Korban Pesach at Chatzos. Chatzos is also, according to the Chachamim anyway, when the expiration date of Shacharis comes. So which is to say, in Shacharis of Erev Pesach, you still say the same Talamater. Beginning from Mincha of Erev Pesach, you start saying the same Bracha. And then, V'chit Chilosa Kein Soifei. And then, the same way as applies when you begin saying, when you begin saying the same Talamater, the same thing goes as far as the end. So just like at the beginning on Shmini Atzeres, you start saying Mashiv Rochmer Degeshim, even though you're not yet asking for Shela, even though you're not yet doing the same Talamot, according to Rashi, because it's Yom Tov, and according to everybody else, during the time from then until Zayin Cheshvin or what have you. Afsofer, the same thing at the end. Maskir Afpishena Shoyal. Yes, you can still be saying Mashiv Rochmer Degeshim, even though you stop saying Shela. So when it comes mincha of Erev Pesach, you're already starting to say the same bracha, even though you're still saying Mashiv Rochmer Degeshem earlier in davening. Only the next day, so therefore, so it's not so far apart. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is saying that the Chazan and Musaf of the first day of Pesach start saying Merud Atol. Stop saying Mashiv Rochmer Degeshem, start saying Merud Atol. Meanwhile, a day before that already, by mincha, the day before, people have already stopped saying the same Talamotzer and started saying the same bracha.
So it can, one does not necessarily have to go to the other.
That's what we're saying. That's what we seem to be saying. That can be just like at the beginning, just like from Shmini Atzeres, just like on Shmini Atzeres, or for the 2 weeks after Shmini Atzeres, you're saying Mashiv Ruach, even though you're still saying the same bracha. Yeah.
But it's one day,
but Shmini Atzeres. Yeah. Okay.
A few weeks.
Not a big deal. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya asks on that, how can you compare those? I can understand why at the beginning, why Shmini Atzeres, you start saying Mashiv Ruach, even though you're not saying yet saying the same Talamotar, because Haskara Nami, Ritzu She'ela, because Haskara consists of a Ritzu She'ela. It's like Ritzu means appeasing, like making yourself pleasing before Hashem. She'ela for asking, meaning sort of like you're getting ready to ask for rain. You're going to be asking for rain in a couple of weeks. You start a couple of weeks before that, starting already to appease Hashem. Mention, you know, Hashem, you're the one who brings rain. Now we're in a frame of mind a couple of weeks later to say, you know what, can you actually give us rain? You mention first what Hashem does. You appease him, praise him first before, yeah. And it's not in Shulchan Aruch. It actually says that that is the definition. When we say Mashiv Ruach Merud Degeshem, we're not yet asking for rain, because the fact is we don't want to have rain, as we're going to learn later in the Perek, we don't want to have rain until after all the early regal have gotten a chance to go back home, and in Bavel they don't need rain until even later.
Right.
At that point, it's Ritzu Sheila, right? It's preparing, appeasing Hashem, like praising Hashem for what he does before we actually come to ask for it, yeah.
Which is on
Zayin Cheshvin or December 4th, as the case may be.
Right. We say it on...
Well, we're going to talk about it later in the parak, that we start 60 days after Tukufas Tishrei, But you're saying at the end, so what are you telling me? You still continue saying Mashiv Ruach Merud Degeshem for another day after you stop saying the same Talamata? What's the logic? What Ritzu Sheila is there? What are you preparing for? You're not preparing to ask for anything, because Adarabi, you stopped the asking already. Ella again, Machmarta Kidullah. So no, it's clear we still have to go back to Ullah's answer that evidently the two different things that Rabbi Yehuda says are two different Tanoim that argue in what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechner, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that indeed the first day of Pesach, we stop saying the same Talamata. We stop saying Mashiv Ruach Merud Degeshem.
And the Talamata?
We'll get to Talamata soon. So did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? What we learn in later on in this parak, in another Mishnah in this parak, on the third day of Cheshvan you start asking for rain. Ram Gamliel says you start asking for on the seventh day. And Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Ram Gamliel. You start on the seventh. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that. Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in both that you say that you start saying Mashiv Ruach Merud Degeshem the first day Pesach and you start saying the same Talamata the last day of Pesach.
Mashiv Ruach say
the first day of Pesach,
yes.
The second Chazan, the Chazan from Musaf, start saying Merud Atol. You're right.
No.
Start saying Merud Atol, and you only start the same bracha after Pesach. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is saying that. And then the flip side of it would also be that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you begin saying Mashiv Roch Merdeh Geshem on Shmini Aseres. The Pashtus also, we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you start saying the same Talamot at the same time, or okay, the day after, because that day is Yom Tov itself. And yet, Rabbi Lava said the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, that you only start 2 weeks later on Zion Cheshvan.
Because
we don't say that bracha. We don't say the middle bracha of Shemana Esra. We're asking for our various needs on Yom Tov, or on Shabbos. So it's not a time to request for our needs.
Although it could be construed as
Haskara. No, Haskara is Mashiv Roch. That's different. That's the praise of Hashem. So you have a contradiction. On the one hand, you seem to be implying halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning you start saying Mashiv Roch, you start saying the same Talamata right after Shmini Aseres, but here you're telling me that you only start 2 weeks later. Amalei. So Rav Asi says, so what's the problem? Gavra agavra karamis. You bring a contradiction from one person to another. Rav Yechanan said one thing. Rav Elazar says a different thing. They're allowed to argue. Which Mefarshim say. I mean, so what was Rav Zeira's point? I mean, Rav Zeira is perfectly aware of that. The thing is, the Gemara mentions in some places, we had this back in Shkalim, that Rav Elazar learned most of what Rav Elazar knew came from Rav Yechanan. And in general, when Rav Elazar would say halacha without specifying who he learned it from, it would be from Rav Yechanan. So we have a right to assume that when Rav Elazar is saying the halacha like Rav Gamliel, he must have gotten it from Rav Yechanan. But nevertheless, Rav Asi is pointing out to him, okay, but not necessarily every rule has exceptions. Or another possibility, again, Lilikasha, Kan Lisho, Kan Mahazkir. Again, there can be a difference between She'ela, which you start on Shmini Aseres, like Rabbi Yehuda says, versus Mashiv Roch Merdeh Geshem. Lisho is the same Talamata, which you begin on Zion Cheshvan, like Rabbi Gamliel says, and Kan Lahazkir, and one is Haskara, which is Mashiv Roch Merdeh Geshem, which you start on Yom Tov 2 weeks earlier. Why didn't Rabbi Yechanan say wherever you ask for rain, wherever you say the same Talamata is where you mention it, Mashiv Roch Merdeh Geshem, so they're tied together? The answer is Ahu Lapsaka Itmar. That's talking about when you stop. According to Rabbi Yechanan, you stop them both at the same time. Not like we said before that you stop one on Erev Pesach and the other one on the first day Pesach. No, you stop them both at the same time. So you start saying Merdeh Atol on the first day Pesach. And you start saying Mashiv Roch, you start saying the same bracha as soon as possible after that. Okay, you don't daven a weekday davening on Yom Tov, but most of Yom Tov, you right away start the same bracha, which is what we do. Yeah. That would be what Rabbi Yechanan means. Yeah. The question is, Va'amar Rabbi Yechanan hischil lahazkir maschil lishol. Why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan say that when you begin mentioning, when you begin saying Mashiv Roch, then you start asking, you start saying the same talamata, pasuk milishol, pasuk milahazkir. As soon as you stop asking, you stop mentioning. So it sounds like according to Rabbi Yechanan, both the beginning and the end are tied together. So still, how can you say that you want to answer that Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar are disagreeing with each other, fine. But if you want to infer that everything goes according to Rabbi Yechanan, then you have a problem. Ella, like kasha, no, rather it's not a kasha for a different reason. Halon halahu. One is talking about for us in Bnei Bavel. The other is talking about for them in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, Bnei Bavel still have their grain and their fruit in the fields throughout all of Tishrei. So for them, if it started raining during Tishrei, it would be a very bad thing. In Eretz Yisrael, fine, you don't want rain during Sukkot, because you don't want it to rain while you're in the Sukkot. But as soon as Sukkot is over, Eretz Yisrael is a dry country. They need the rain as soon as possible. So yes, they should be starting to ask for rain as soon as possible after they start mentioning it. As soon as possible after they start saying, Mashiv Roch Merdeh Geshem, they should start saying the same Talamata.
Even the grain is out?
No, because in Eretz Yisrael, the grain is not out by that time.
It's
in already, and in Eretz Yisrael, they need the rain as soon as possible. In Babel, they don't need the rain as urgently. So let them wait 2 weeks until Zion Cheshvan. Which is not actually the halacha. We're going to get to on Daf Yud what the actual halacha is. But yeah. So far this is where we are in the discussion. The question is, so what's the difference? We have fruit out in the field. In Eretz Yisrael, fine, they don't have fruit out in the field because they make sure to bring it in before that. But they have oile regel. You don't want them to get caught in the rain. Early regular takes them, as we're going to learn in a couple of weeks, it takes them 2 weeks to get back home. That's why we wait till Zion Cheshvan. So yeah, so why should they start asking for rain immediately after Shmini Aseres? The answer is, Kikom, Rabbi Yechon, Mizman Shein, Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Yeah, you're right, Rabbi Yechon is actually talking about when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. There's no early regular.
If it was standing, he wouldn't.
Then he would have to say you have to wait, yeah. The Gemara says, Hashdod, also the Hachri. Well, now that you've pointed out that, Hala to do, then actually you could say, we don't have to talk about Eretz Yisrael versus Babel. Both Dinim could be talking about Eretz Yisrael. But like Kasha, Kan Bizmancha Beis Mikdash Kayim, Kan Bizmancha Ein Beis Mikdash Kayim. When the Beis Mikdash is standing, you wait till Zayin Cheshvan. When the Beis Mikdash is not standing, you start right after Shmini Atzeres. Now, that is not, in fact, the Halacha. The Halacha, as we're going to learn later on, is that in Eretz Yisrael, they start Zayin Cheshvan, and in Chutzla Eretz, we start 60 days after the Shkukah. So the Mefarshim have a bit of a time understanding how the halacha fits based on the Gemara over here. One thing is, later on, when we learn about Zayin Cheshvan, it points out in Shulchan Aruch, based on I forget which Rishonim, that even after the Churban, there were Jews who still used to make their way to Yerushalayim and then would have to go back home. So yes, you still have to keep them in consideration as well. And Babel, because it's a low-lying, humid country, they don't need the rain as urgently until two-thirds of the fall is over. As opposed to Israel, which is higher altitude and dry, yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Vanandi isplan trei yomi." We in Chutz La'aretz have 2 days of Yom Tov. Hechi Abdinin. What do we do? Do we start asking? Do we start saying Mashav Rochem Eru Geshem on Shmini Atzeres or on Simchas Torah? Amar Rav, Maschul B'Musafin. So Rav says you start saying it by Musaf on the first day of Shmini Atzeres, or Posik B'Mincha, Arbitz Hashachus. Then you stop saying by Mincha, and in other words, you say according to Rav like this: in Shachris of Shmini Atzeres, you say Merud Atol. Musaf, you say Mashav Roch Merud Geshem because it may be Yom Tov. Then though, Mincha of Shmini Atzeres, Ma'ariv Simchas Torah, and Shachris of Simchas Torah, you go back to saying the same tal. You go back to saying Merud Atol. Wait. And then again, by Musaf of Simchas Torah, you again go back to saying Mashav Roch Merud Geshem. Why? Because each of those days is Sofik Yom Tov. You don't want to start saying too early, especially we in Chutz La'aretz sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, because it's a Sofik, it might be the seventh day. So yes, we mention rain, we say Mashav Roch Merud Geshem on Shmini Atzeres because it may be Shmini Atzeres, but it also might be the seventh day of Yom Tov. So therefore, for the next three Tfilos, we go back to as if it was still Sukkah, until it comes Musaf of Simchas Torah, when it's definitely the time, and then from then on we continue without interruption.
That's what we don't do.
We don't do that, but wait. Amalahu, because we're not finished the discussion yet. Yeah. Amalahu Shmuel. So Shmuel tells the people who told him this in the name of Rav, Puku v'imru leva Abba, go out and tell Abba, Rashi says over here that Abba means Chaveri, my friend. In different places, Rashi explains that either different Mefarshim, and I think Rashi himself in a few places, either that Abba was Rav's personal name, or that Abba, on the contrary, means my chaver, like here, or even that it means my Rebbe, because Rav was older than Shmuel. Anyway, go tell him, how could that be? After you made it Kodesh, you're going to make it Chol again. You're going to say Mashav Roch Merud Geshem by Musaf of Shmini Atzeres as if it's Yom Tov. Then for the rest of the day, you're going to consider it as if it was Sofik Shvi, as if it was Sofik, the seventh day of Sukkot, Sofik Hashayin Rabba, and go back to saying Merud at all. What's the logic? Elam Shmuel, no. What you do is Maschul B'Musaf and Mincha. You start saying Mashav Roch Merud Geshem in Musaf for Shmini Atzeres. You continue saying it by Mincha. Uposik Arvitz Hashachus. Then you stop saying it. You start saying Merud at all by Ma'ariv of Simchas Torah and Shachris of Simchas Torah. V'chozer Maschul B'Musaf, and then you start again by Musaf. So it's similar, but you have one more tefillah when it comes to Mincha. Instead of making Mincha already as if it was Shvi'i Shapesach, fine. You make Mincha. Mincha. You still consider it as if it was Yom Tov. But Ma'ariv already, Ma'ariv of Simchas Torah, even if it was really Shmini Atzeres, you would still say, if it was really Shmini Atzeres, you would still be saying Mashav Roch Merud, you would still be saying rather Merud at all. So it's not a zilzal in it to do that. You're treating it as if it was Shmini Atzeres. A third possibility, Rav Amar, Kivin Shehiskol Shuvene Posek. No, once you started saying Mashav Roch Merud Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, even though it's Sofik the seventh day, you don't stop. You continue straight through. And Rav Sheshes says the same thing, which is tackle what we do. And in fact, Rav also ended up changing his mind. We know that. You count starting from Rosh Hashanah, 21 days, just like you count the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and then you begin saying, what does he mean by mentioning similar to the 10 days? We learned in Beis Seah and in Rosh Hashanah that we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, it's Sefer D'Yoma, really. Not Sefer D'Yoma, it's Yom Arichta. It's Yom Arichta, because outside Eretz Yisrael, technically it is Sefer D'Yoma, but whatever, anyway. But now, when it comes to Yom Kippur, though, as we learned in Rosh Hashanah, yes, there were people who were machmir to fast 2 days of Yom Kippur to be on the safe side, but most people were not, because it would be dangerous too, and that's fine. You count, but how do you know when Yom Kippur is? You count 10 days from the first day of Rosh Hashanah. You ignore the fact, it's only 9 days from the second day of Rosh Hashanah, doesn't matter. The same kind of thing when it comes to deciding when you start saying Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem, you count straight from the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you ignore the second day of Rosh Hashanah for that purpose. So you count 21 days, 21 days from the first day of Rosh Hashanah gets you to Hashanah Rabba. The next day, Musa, you start Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem. The Kivin Chiz, Kol Shuvayni Paisik, and once you start saying Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem, you don't stop. The Hilchasa, and that in fact is the Halacha, Kivin Chiz, Kol Shuvayni Paisik, once you start saying Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem, you don't stop. Until Pesach, and that's what we do. So the Maskana, what we get out of this sugya is that when our Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda had said that the Chazan from Musaf on Shemini Atzeres start saying Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no question they do that. In Chutz La'aretz, what we're saying is even then we do that. We ignore the fact that it's Sfeita D'Yom, we ignore the fact that it might have been the seventh day of Sukkot. We still go ahead and do that. And we don't stop after that. We continue until even though in the next Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda says that you continue asking for rain until Pesach is over. We don't. We stop. We do like Rabbi Yochanan had said before. We stop asking for rain and stop saying Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem at the same time. In effect, the last tefillah in which we say both of them is Mincha of Erev Pesach. Ma'ariv and Shacharis of Pesach, well, there's no St. Talamato, because Yom Tov, we do still say Masha Baruch Merit Geshem. Musaf of first day of Pesach, like Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah, you start saying Merit Atol, and as soon as possible after that, for the night of Kalamayat, in Eretz Yisrael, or in Chutz La'aretz, as the case may be, you start saying the same Bracha. Whereas at the beginning, there was that difference we said before, even though the Gemara here seems to be implying that in Eretz Yisrael and in Bava, that in Eretz Yisrael, you should start saying the same Talamata right after you start saying Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem. In practice, we don't do that. In practice, we do like it says later on in the Masechta, that in Eretz Yisrael, they wait 2 weeks, and in Chutz La'aretz, we wait even longer than that. It's universal halacha. Actually, when we get to talking about that 60th day of Kufas Tishrei, and when we get talking about what happens if Yechidim need rain, I'll remind you of a very interesting story involving the Rosh and his opinion on the subject.
Spain,
this was? In Spain, Provincia, yeah.
What happened?
Well, we'll talk about it then, because we're running short on time.